Hey, it's Brian Cook, your host here. Wanted to let you know we now have t-shirts. Would you like to support the podcast? Have you noticed that I can't get a sponsor because this show's too filthy? Hey, it'd be great if some people ordered shirts. They're great looking shirts. Go to estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. You'll find competitive erotic fanfiction on the right-hand side. Click on that and you can order shirts. There's men's and women's sizes. It's a great design by my buddy Mark Palm in Seattle. He does all of our amazing poster art. Please support the podcast. It would help us out a ton. That's estoymerchandise.com. E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 145 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include October 18th at the Virgil in Los Angeles and October 25th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, where today's show was recorded back on June 21st, 2015, featuring Kara Clank, Kenny DeForest, Jared Logan, and Peggy O'Leary reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First, you'll hear them draw topics, then we will fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy!
Thank you, guys. We're also waiting to get those suggestions, and please welcome your round two comics who will be writing based upon your suggestions. Jared Logan, Kara Clank, Kenny DeForest, and Peggy O'Leary, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands. Hey, gang. Let's start with Peggy. Clap your hands for Peggy one more time. So, here's how this part works. If she likes the first suggestion, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, but then you will all vote on which one she has to write. Peggy, your first option, I don't know what this is, Omegaverse.
Oh, no!
Couple people real on board, a lot of people real confused.
Let's go with that. Let's pick another one.
All right. Yellow Submarine. That's a Beatles song. You didn't get Tom Waits, and that reference is 20 years newer, so I felt like I should explain. So I leave it to you good people. Who wants to hear Omegaverse? The girl that suggested Omegaverse is now very embarrassed. By the way, clap. You don't have to read. I can't see shit except for like the front row, so clap your hands for these. Who wants to hear Yellow Submarine? Yellow Submarine it is! Peggy O'Leary! Clap your hands for Peggy. There's only one vote for the first one. What if it'd been zero for the second one? We'd all just have to go home. Again, I don't know what this is. Kenny DeForest, by the way. Kenny DeForest. The handsome, the capable. Attack on Titan. I don't know. These two way into it. Everybody else, very confused. But they got here early, so I should expect that they'd have some deep cuts.
Let's take another. Yeah.
Preparing for that assumption.
Yeah. That's a good assumption.
Oh, God. Master of Disguise. What's his name? Fucking. Yes, thank you. It's a Dana Carvey movie that no one saw in like 2001.
Right.
Who wants to hear Attack on Titan? I'm going to assume that's manga. Is that manga? Is that manga? Ah! I fucking nailed it! I don't know what that is. Still knew it was manga. Master of Disguise.
All right.
Dana DeForest. Keep it going for Kara Clank.
Hello.
My Dinner with Andre.
Oh.
Ooh, erudite.
I like it to be a democracy, so pick two and you guys
right.
choose.
Also, it's my show, so sometimes I just do whatever I want. That was my buddy Grady. He suggested Breakfast Mustard. Not a real reference. He wrote the theme song to the podcast that you all just heard on my intro, though. Clap your hands for Grady. But he didn't get my Primus reference, so we'll talk about that later. Oh, the History Channel show Ancient Aliens. That's great. So who wants to hear My Dinner with Andre? Ancient Aliens. Kara Clank, keep it going for Mr. Jared Logan.
Hello.
Your first option is Les Miserables.
Ooh!
Shit. Just on board for every suggestion, and I love that, by the way. That's the kind of enthusiasm we need here.
I want to hear two just because I want to hear two.
Your second option is Emily Dickinson.
Ooh.
A lot of smarty pants is here at Park Slope. Who wants to hear Les Mis? And who wants to hear Emily Dickinson? That's kind of a tie. I'm going to give it to Les Mis. Jerry Logan, clap your hands. Thanks, buddy.
Your first round two competitor. How do you feel about that?
Kenny DeForest, ladies and gentlemen, still putting some hot, wet ink on that page.
Hey, guys. Thank you. I have not seen the movie Master of Disguise. So, you know, because there's other movies you can watch. So I didn't watch this one because there was options. So I wrote this based on, I read about three paragraphs of the Wikipedia plot, and then I felt sick to my stomach, and I just, I started writing. So this is a Master of Disguise. America, 1992. Fabrizio Disguisi, a man so bad at his job of being disguised, he put the word disguise in his name, sat smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee. My son of Pistachio is a 25, and he's a still a virgin. All he does is a mock of people, and he wants a girl with a bigger booty. But he's too nerdy for a girl with a bigger booty. I should have never named him a pistachio. Everyone thinks he's nuts. Pistachio Disguisi was so scared of women, all he did was mock people. A defense mechanism, you see. A defense mechanism, but also a family secret. He's a disguisey, after all. You know, like disguises.
Oh my God.
At some point, Fabrizio is kidnapped by some dude. Along with his wife, Pistachio's mom. And they are forced to steal shit dressed as Jessica Simpson, Jesse Ventura, and Michael Johnson, famous 400-meter Olympic gold medal winner, in what I can only imagine was a horrific display of racist blackface. I would imagine that scene made Song of the South look progressive. Anyway, Pistachio gets an assistant named Jennifer, which is weird because Pistachio's a waiter. But no one asks questions because Adam Sandler's in this movie and he doesn't care about content anymore. Jennifer has a small butt, which, as we've already discussed, is not cool to Pistachio. But her face is all right, and I bet she's nice, and probably serves to teach Pistachio a lesson that true fat asses are on the inside. Anyway, Pistachio is trying to find his dad and mom, and they find a cigar the bad guy has stomped out, because we all know that the only people that smoke cigars are bad guys and retired dads. They know the cigar is a bad guy's because no retired dads live in this town. On account of the strict laws regarding sexual harassment towards waitresses. Jennifer and Pistachio see the cigar says Turtle Club and realize the only solution, rather than call the police with this blatantly obvious clue, is to be a human man pretending to be a turtle. Not a mutant turtle or a ninja turtle or any combination thereof, but like a box turtle. As we know, turtles look eerily similar to 5'7" white guys with bald heads and green turtlenecks. So somehow this ploy works, most likely due to Sandler's involvement. Even though it's really embarrassing to the aforementioned small-butted but hot Jennifer, who has fallen for this schizophrenic buffoon waiter with no sense whatsoever. So Jennifer is embarrassed by the turtle thing and being a waiter's assistant and all. So she says, "Hey, I'm embarrassed." To this, Pistachio replies, "Shut up, your butt is a small. Get over that. I'm cool and clearly too hot for you because this is Hollywood and movies will have you believe every guy gets a hot girl." So Pistachio goes, "Okay, pussy is a pussy. Good call," Jennifer, the hot girl that somehow has no other options, exclaimed. "Give me that a dick." Pistachio obliged and slowly began to remove his green champion sweatpants. Jennifer's pristine virgin pussy began to get way wetter than is realistic. "Yes, loser dick," she shouted. Pistachio's tiny uncircumcised penis began to fill with marinara sauce. "I'm a hard as a defending World War II era Italy," he exclaimed. He grasped his tiny hooded rod and began to peel back his foreskin. "Turtle, turtle," he said, way too proud of himself. "Hey, your dick looks like a turtle too. Your dick looks like you," Jennifer shouted with joy. "Mozzarella jizz party," Pistachio shouted after direction from Adam Sandler. "Sure," Jennifer yelled, because women in movies are so dumb and desperate. She grabbed Pistachio's tiny, barely hard cock and jammed it in her immaculate, hilariously tight and wet pussy. "This feels mediocre, but I love you," she moaned. "Wow, wow, wee, wow," he replied, because they'd given up on the film. Then he came on her face and shouted, "I, Pistachio, looks like I am nuts." Everyone except Jennifer laughs, and they got married, and more movies happened starring these same people for some reason. And that's my story.
Katie DeForest. That piece was great, I'm not going to lie. Keep it going for Mr. Jared Logan. He wants it. He's going to use it.
Okay. Just to jog your memory, I had Les Miserables.
Yes!
Les Miserables.
Yes.
The theater lights flash to let you know it's time for silence. Open on a bunch of prisoners forced to swab the deck of a peep show. They've got hot snatch all around them, but the government won't let them yank. Don't come, don't come, you're not allowed to come. Don't come, don't come, it's gross to shoot your scum. Then Inspector Jazair says, "Prisoner 69, you are free to go. But no one will ever fuck you now. Because you have to show everyone these papers that say you have a nose fetish. Gross!" So then Prisoner 69, he walks away from the prisoner or whatever, and his name is really Jean Valjeanson. And he sings a song whose tune I forget from the actual musical, so I'm just going to riff it. His song is, "I am a man! I am a human being! So what if I like to touch the little indentions in someone's nose in a sexual way? It might be the kind of thing a lot of people are into, like the author of this piece, Jessica Chastain! That's a great nose!" Finally, no one will hire Jean Valjeanson or fuck him, because every time he gets a job, he's like, "Okay, and here are these papers that say I have a nose fetish." And they're like, "What? Ugh, get out of here." and he's really sad and he can't make any money. But then a Catholic bishop takes in Jean Valjean, and he's a priest, so of course he'll fuck Jean Valjean. And this renews Jean Valjean's faith in fuck. Cut to 10 years later, and Jean Valjean becomes the mayor or some shit, because men in power always have a weird sex thing. Dominic Strauss-Kahn, for example. Anyway, my point is, fetishes are like power ties. So it's 10 years later, and Fantine is working in a factory. But she gets fired because someone finds out that she's primarily asexual but occasionally gets off by watching baby goats frolic. And they're like, what? Get the fuck out of here. That's different. So she has to go whore. And she sings, I had a dream that I could die without doing that much fucking. I wanted to be left alone and touch myself while goats were bucking. It's a stretch. It's a stretch. It's a stretch to rhyme. It's forced. But things got super lame, and people made me whore my cooch out. I should have just borrowed the money, but I'm too proud to be a mooch out. And then a bunch of whores sing, lovely ladies, this song is sarcastic. Lovely ladies, they're actually diseased whores. Anyway, Jean Valjean bumps into Fantine just as she's dying from aggressive anal. And she's like, find my daughter, she's working at the pleasure chest on Santa Monica. So he goes there, and there's this couple that likes to swing, and they sing, master of the mouse, seller of the lube. Mouse is our worst word for pussy. Was that unclear? Anyway, John Bell Johnson rescues the little girl, Coe's Tits is her name. But he does not fuck her, because she's way too young, and he's like a father figure to her. Cut to 10 years later. He's fucking the shit out of her. He's fucking her so hard. They're going at it just like, and they're going at it real hard in their new house in Paris. He's got her hand around her nose, and every time he yanks it, it's like he's changing gears in a car, except replace car with her pussy. It's like wet, semi-wet, sopping. Anyway, then she meets this other guy named Male Ingenue who comes late. And she tells Jean Valjean, I want an open relationship. And Jean Valjean is upset. He wants that sweet nose all to himself. But then Male Ingenue is like, I have to go to war for France's freedom. And Costitz is like, no, don't leave. And Jean Valjean is like, don't worry, I'll go to war with him to keep an eye on him. But he's really thinking, I like his nose, and if this relationship is truly open, that means all ass is fair game, including my adopted daughter's boyfriend. So they go to war against the Bluecoats or something. And there's cannons! And Napoleon says, touche! And they sing a rousing battle song where they're like, I think this is pretty much the song in the play. They sing a rousing battle song where they're like, freaky like that. Freaky like that. I wanna fuck your nose, cause I'm freaking like that. Freaky like that. Freaky like that. I wanna fuck your nose, cause I'm freaky like that. We all remember that from the when we saw the musical with our parents. Put that in your head too. Big climax! Inspector Desire shows up and he's like, I found you, Johnson! Cut to Jean Valjean cornering him in an alley and then having a furious makeout session. And Jazeera's like, don't come, oh fuck, I just came. And then later Jazeera kills himself because he's really down on himself for his sexuality, which will happen less now that the country is free! And John Bell Johnson gets all that pent up fuck lust out of his system on Jazeera and decides not to fuck Coast Tits, his boyfriend, and instead he saves him from Jerry Falwell supporters or something that would be a good analogy here. And he takes him back to Coast Tits and they all fuck together, epic three-way. I had a dream.
dream I sucked a cock much bigger than a large banana. My anus opened, my pussy rocked. We took a break and had a phantom.
But then the tigers came at night with teeth of judgment and eyes of thunder. Don't let anyone shame your fuck. There's always someone who will understand.
No. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Jared Logan. That guy. Who apparently thought Les Mis took place in America. All right. Give it go. Peggy, you ready? Peggy O'Leary, ladies and gentlemen.
So, open up to the Atlantic Ocean. Camera passes through the sea. Shots of down under the water. Passes through beautiful fish. Fucking. On top of corals. Exotic mermaids swim by, looking at the lens. They wink. They're inviting. They don't have anything over their breasts. The down low. Fishy. Close up on Lucille. She's a young mermaid. She's new. She swims past all the other girls. She goes to the cave where she had found the new creature she fell in love with. Her body glistens in the light of the moon from above. Lucille had recently found this creature, and it was a creature she had never seen before. Hard, round, and vibrantly yellow. For the last week, she had spent most of her day swimming by a mysterious creature. She playfully called it Jack, after her favorite merman. She didn't want the other mermaids to know about Jack, so she didn't tell anybody. She imagined her life with Jack swimming and dancing together. She acted out the scenes with him. Oh, Jack, you're so silly. And then she'd laugh by herself. As if Jack had said something really funny, but he didn't, because no one was there. Just a submarine. She didn't know what it was, because she's a dumb mermaid. On this day, her excitement got the best of her. This round hunk had gotten her all wet. On top of the creature was a long, hard pipe. She'd imagined for weeks nothing but going on top of Jack and opening up her lips. Not her mouth lips, the other lips. And riding that pipe. Other mermaids had talked about masturbation. She had never done it before. Fat Sue, that mermaid, she always talked about fucking Trident, which was her dad's Trident, which was weird to Lucille, but she was like fine with it. It always seemed gross to her, masturbation. Weird. Not something she wanted to do. But here alone in the cave by herself with Jack, she thought, yeah. She swam up against Jack, touching the round, hard shell. She looked around. She knew none of the mermaids were there, but sometimes the sea bass boys were there. She didn't want them to see it. She looked around one more time. No one was there. I lost my place. But in that moment, she was alone. She swam up the side, and she mounted that pipe. She opened up her mermaid lips. Not the mouth ones. Oh, fuck, she said. It hurt a little, but she didn't mind. She liked it. She placed her hands on the top of Jack and bounced slowly, and then quickly. It got really fast, actually. She couldn't believe it. Lucille had never felt this way before. It was exciting and scary, and she didn't know what to do, but she didn't want to stop. Oh, Jack! The image quickly changes to a video of black and white. Someone inside of Jack is watching her. Bobby and Billy are American soldiers inside of Jack, the submarine. They are dumbfounded watching this mysterious creature just ride the top of their fucking machine. They sit watching before finally Billy says, last week I got real sad because I thought I'd never see my family again. But if we die right now under here, at least I got to see a mermaid fuck a submarine.
Bobby chimes in, should we go get the other guys? This is great. Are you fucking serious? No way. We're watching fish porn and you want to bring other people to the party? Are you serious, dude? No. I have wished for this moment for a while. I kind of wish you weren't here. I want to jack off at the end. Bobby makes a weird noise and Billy looks over. Man, are you jacking off right now? Dude, come on. Yeah, dude. How are you not? This is literally watching the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we're soldiers in a submarine in 2015. At that, Billy takes out his hard, fat cock. Because fuck it, they're probably going to die. Out of his tight, white pants. I forgot that part. Now that they are both masturbating furiously. You guys know the word I'm talking about. Together, they excitedly, Bob says, oh, fuck, I might come. Billy goes, come on, dude, don't tell me, just do it, all right? It's fucking weird, all right? I don't even like you that much. I was annoyed that we fucking even got stationed together. And now there's a fucking person fucking our machine, and I gotta do it with you. Both start breathing heavily, though. They both can't fight it. They're gonna come. The excitement, everything gets crazy. They both start holding hands. They don't know why, but it feels right. Lucille is now grabbing her fish tits. She can't stop. She's probably going to come too. But that part's in black and white, so it's like exciting. At that, there's a loud crash in the background. Oh, fuck, the machines. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, what's happening? At that, the captain runs in. Boys! We got the machine to work. We're going back. What are you guys doing? At that, the submarine starts moving through the cave. Oh my God, the boys realize their beautiful, beautiful mermaid is gonna get decapitated. They don't know what to do, but watch. Captain's like, dude, so I'm gonna leave you. I'm just gonna go. I gotta do some work and stuff. They finish jacking off. It's slower now as they watch their beautiful princess slowly lose her head. Feels weird that they both came at the same time. Blood squirting from her neck. Cum coming out of their dick. It was beautiful. It was a moment they'll never forget. Thank you.
Peggy O'Leary. Where's Kara? There she is. Your final competitor, Kara Clank. Can you show a picture? Was that the question? Well, I mean, Jim did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, okay, so.
Well, game on.
Absolutely.
It's two's rules, I see.
Two's rules. That's actually a really low blow, because that was his failed sitcom. I don't know if you know
that. Oh, yeah. Jim, I'm sorry.
I think because it's not an actual rhyme. It was like a shitty game. It didn't work out.
Two's rules.
If it was called like two's Jews, then that would work. It was like two Jewish guys.
Like a World War II comedy?
I don't know. You had to go dark. Oh, I didn't
come
go
on.
Dark. I didn't go dark. She went dark.
Too soon?
That would be a better name. Too soon.
It's oh my God! Guy, an improv team.
It's a guy that moves
we just
in
missed the double
to a high-priced high-rise built on the grounds where 9/11 used to be, and everyone's very upset that it's there.
The main character can't stop making jokes about it. Too soon.
Hey, I'm sorry. Where do we keep the Heideki? I forgot.
Never forget.
We're literally better at comedy than everyone. Let's get out of here. This is beneath us. This my show is beneath us. That'll be my gravestone. Anyway.
All right. Okay, so as you guys know, I had a show I've never heard of called Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. So here we go with that.
Okay.
I never know what to expect at auditions, you know. Sometimes they're looking for a big-titted diner waitress, and other times you're a blood spatter analyst for the Orlando Police Department. I played both of those roles this month. I should clarify, in pornos. I play those roles in pornos. I'm really trying to go legit now and let my mouth be the only hole that pays my rent. So I was super excited to get a call from my agent, Shia LaBeouf, telling me that I had an audition to play a Mayan princess in a reenactment on the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. There were no lines, just a lot of facial work, which is right up my alley. So let's just fast forward. I go to the audition and I nail it. I got the part. So I show up the next week to the shoot. They even gave me my own trailer. It was actually just a porta potty they let me change in before the crew guys filled it up. But I felt so legit. The minute I stepped out of the porta potty, I could feel something magic in the air. I turned and came face to face with Giorgio Tsoukalos, a half Swiss, half Greek writer who, despite having a heritage that could best be described as a bad salad, is a genius writer and alien expert. And then, like, for like the maybe four of you that haven't seen the show, that's what he looks like. Okay. Yeah, he's a real yikes. Okay. So I came face to face. Okay. Who is a genius writer and alien expert? I couldn't believe it. The tension between us was instant. His totally retarded hairstyle, comprised of a receding hairline in the front, Phil Spector in the back, made my nipples hard immediately. Mostly because once Phil Spector did do me in the back, but I digress. He took my hand and kissed it like a gross European. He looked into my eyes and said, "Io sono Giorgio." "I only speak American," I said, embarrassed. "But I know who you are." "Apologies, you look so Italian." His eyes were fixed on my 36 double J breasts. There's literally nowhere else to look, so I'm used to it. "I've read so much of your writing," I gushed. "It's so surprising that a guy who graduated with a bachelor's degree in sports information and communication and had a primary career as a bodybuilding promoter would be so well-versed about the history of the universe and extraterrestrial science." "Well, I am a very quick study," Giorgio replied. I noticed he had a raging boner trying to escape from his flat-front khakis. "Step into my trailer. I'd love to give you a private lecture." I knew I couldn't pass up the opportunity to be fucked by one of the greatest memes of all time. I followed him to a mini camper van right outside the high school auditorium where we were shooting scenes that day. Fun fact, a History Channel show's budget is way less than a porno. Before the door had even closed behind me, he was tearing my clothes off. "Oh, Giorgio, I have so many questions," I breathed as he ripped my skirt off. "Ask away," he replied, as he buried his ridiculous head into my bosoms and made a motorboat noise. "When was the last time you saw a UFO?" I asked as he entered me. I could barely feel anything, and that's how I knew he was really European. It was thrilling. Some Europeans in here, I guess. "Last summer," he replied, pumping away, "I was at a moon conference at Joshua Tree. My colleagues and I were on a negligible amount of peyote, but we saw it, undisputable." "Do you think there are gay aliens?" I asked. "I answered that one on Twitter last week. Definitely. So many aliens called me last Friday, so happy with the SCOTUS decision. Of course, we have a long way to go, like when will gay aliens be allowed to marry?" "I didn't know you were such an activist." Just then, Giorgio lifted me up on the counter, knocking over bottles upon bottles of hairspray and gel. Then he freaked out and screamed at me for messing up his product area. So I got down. He sat on a gross lazy boy and motioned for me to come over. I straddled him and we continued our sexing. He pulled my hair and said, What else does baby want to warn from teacher?" in a ridiculous baby voice. I used the opportunity to probe him. Pun sort of intended, I'm a porn actress. For more information about aliens, ancient aliens specifically. "What do you think about the Fermi paradox? You know, the one that says if aliens do exist, why can't we see them?" "Ugh, I've said this a million times. Their technology would so blow us out of the water that it's entirely possible and likely they would have ways to make themselves invisible to us." kind of like your dick, I thought to myself, as he climaxed limply all over his own khakis. I didn't finish. I can only come while being condescended to if I'm being paid and the camera's rolling. I stood up and began buttoning up. I have to get to wardrobe. They're shooting my scene next. He fumbled. When will I see you again? I buttoned the middle button on my shirt, which was now spring-loaded with enough tension to murder someone like a bullet. Well, I'm auditioning for the X-Files reboot next week. Oh, no way! Me too, Giorgio replied. See you there. I paused. He wasn't a real writer, just a TV personality. His Wikipedia entry was right. I was so sad to have been let down by a hero, both sexually and integrity-wise, in just a few short minutes. But then my agent texted me telling me I'd gotten the part of Slutty Spirit number 4 in an episode of Ghost Hunters, and everything was okay again.
Carrot Flank.
Let's get everybody from round 2 back to the stage. Once again, I'm going to remind you of what everybody read. No voting yet. We started with Kenny DeForest with Master of Disguise, then Jared Logan with Les Miserables, Peggy O'Leary with Ancient Alien. Peggy O'Leary. I got it backwards. Peggy O'Leary with Yellow Submarine, Carrie Clank with Ancient Aliens. So give it up for your favorite, starting with Kenny DeForest, Master of Disguise. Yeah. It is a terrible film. I feel like they're blaming the film. You know? I think that's actually legitimate. It's so bad. Who's actually seen that movie? By a round of applause or hands in the air or whatever you want to do. Yeah. The rest of you, go the rest of your lives without watching it. It's not even like, now it's so bad it's good. No, it sucks fucking dick. All right. I digress. Jared Logan, Les Miserables. O'Leary, Yellow Submarine. And Kara Clank, Ancient Aliens. That's very close, but I think that's Jared Logan with Les Miserables. That's a damn good
one. Thank you.
Heiser. Good dude. All your round 2 competitors, let them hear it. Everybody you saw tonight.
That does it for round 2. To hear round 1 from this show, you can go back and download episode 144. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. For more details, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.